Today on Family Talk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, along with our host, psychologist, and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. And, Dad, today we're going to continue with our program on the new movie, Beyond the Mask. It's rare that we would use a program to promote an upcoming movie, but the film we're going to talk about today is excellent, and our listeners will be excited to see it. Our guests today are the crew behind the movie Beyond the Mask. We have in-studio director Dr. Chad Burns, producer Aaron Burns, and screenwriter, and as I say, savior of car trips everywhere, Paul McCusker, who has written over 300 episodes of Adventures in Odyssey. Thank you all for being with us today, and let's jump right back into this conversation.
All right, let's go right to it. What is the viewer, the mom and dad that have brought their kids to it? First of all, will children be interested in it?
Yes. So the movie's rated PG by the Motion Picture Association of America. This is a family film. You know, you should take a look at the trailer. Every family needs to make a judgment for themselves about what's appropriate for their kids at what ages. But it is rated PG. We worked very hard to keep the action and the scenes that do include some violence to keep them family friendly. So you're not going to see any blood.
There's
certainly no language. There's no sex in this movie.
I'm going to play it for Lincoln. He'll love it. Every little boy wants to be a hero. They want to have the heroine to save and he is drawn and always has been drawn to that. He's going to love. Yeah, he's 8. He will absolutely enjoy it. I'm 45. I thoroughly enjoyed it. That's hard to do. It's hard to do.
And the great thing is to have a flawed character, a subtlety and nuance that I would point to C.S. Lewis, for example. The White Witch, for example, in Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. One of the things that C.S. Lewis detested was creating villains who seemed all-powerful. And yet he acknowledged if there wasn't something compelling about it, people wouldn't go there. And so with villains, for example, you want to show what makes them powerful and you want to show how that works. But Lewis was also adamant that you need to show the other side. So the White Witch, for example, was very petty. While you recognized the power she seemed to have, there was a pettiness. There was something that made you think, I wouldn't want to be that person. And it's the same thing. What we found in Will Reynolds was a certain heroic side to him, even while acknowledging his very flawed past. So there's something compelling about him. But what we tried to position was that he was compelling as a character, but you wouldn't want to be him in the state he was in. In other words, he did his heroic things, which is fine, but he was still caught in this sort of circle of, let's call it sin, of selfishness, of all the things that were wrong with his life, that need for Christ. And I think the film does a good job of rectifying what Hollywood very often doesn't do, which is show a character who is compelling and engaging, but flawed, but not flawed in a way that you think, well, once he's not flawed anymore, he's going to become boring. And that was a big part of what we discussed was how do you bring someone to a spiritual point? Because the big danger is that suddenly you've got this compelling character who seems to become a Christian and then he's boring.
Here's a critical question for me directed to you on behalf of families. The question is, what will the conversation in the car be like going home after having watched this film?
We have thought about that moment many, many times, Dr. Dobson, and our passion is that families would engage on multiple levels with this. So we talk about what's called a four-quadrant film, that men and women, young and old, all can find something here to enjoy and something to learn from. So for the ladies, there's if you like Pride and Prejudice or Downton Abbey or those things, there's the beautiful mansions and the English countryside and the dresses and the balls and all that kind of stuff. And, of course, the romance. And then for the guys, there's the swords and the sailing ships and the action.
So there's a swashbuckling aspect.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. And all the fun and the adventure of the film. And so I think anyone who walks into the theater, whether you're even a believer or a non-believer, you're going to have a great time. You're going to enjoy the film. But in addition to that, the characters that are created and the things that they go through, they reflect the struggles and the questions that we ask and have to find answers
for.
Well,
one of the questions from what you've said here would be for me to turn to a member of my family, a younger member, and say, did you notice the difficulty the lead character had in fixing himself?
Yeah, Dr. Dobson.
Yeah, have you ever tried to make up for a wrong by doing something that you thought was better? I mean, is that enough?
Yes.
You know, take them along that whole theological discussion.
Yeah, you're talking about something called, in the technical term, is functional justification. And what are we doing functionally in our daily life to justify ourselves?
He's going all PhD on it.
But we really wanted to dig into that because that's where we live every day. And whether – it doesn't matter what it is. We're all searching for something to make us okay, to make us significant on a daily basis, and to show that ultimately that can only be found in Christ, and that whatever we do, however good it is or awesome it is – let me give you – we're Midwest boys. This is really awesome for us to be on the air with the Dobsons. I mean, honestly, that's a huge honor to us.
It's our honor.
And it's fantastic, and yet it cannot be a substance or a basis for our identity. It's not what can ultimately get us up in the morning or whatever. It's a gift. But the giver of that gift is Jesus Christ, and coming back to that root in Him, and not trying to find that significance in the things, but in the person of Jesus Christ.
Do you ever name Him?
We do. Yes, the hero says in the definitive scene. He says, "I've been trying all my life to earn my own redemption, and I found in Christ the justification and the acceptance that I've always yearned for."
Relieved. I'm glad you did that, Paul.
Well, because we're exploring themes, that's the other thing that parents can tease out rather than us spelling it out where you don't even have a question. You can't talk to it because the film appeared to do it all for you. In this case, we're exploring ideas. So for my kids, it would be, did you notice how he did the wrong things for the right reasons or the right things for the wrong reasons, and what does that lead to? And also to try to tease out the many ways that God was at work in the character's life, the nudges along the way, the things that God kind of put in his path that you can either ignore or you can acknowledge and see how God is at work in our spiritual journeys. And so to highlight that for ourselves and for our kids, to basically try to get us to stop and look and listen in our own lives what God is doing. Because very often he is doing things. In fact, more often than not, he's doing things that escape us. We're not paying attention. We get caught up in our own agenda. We get caught up in our own activities, and we're not seeing. And so the film is just layered with these opportunities where when you step back from it, you can see how God is at work. And yet the characters themselves may not see that.
If I were having a family devotion the next day after having seen this, I would take everyone to "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Mm-hmm. All. Does that mean all? Mm-hmm. Does that mean Moses? Does that mean Samuel? Does that mean
Mother Teresa?
All of the great people in the church that we have known through the centuries and known of, does that mean all have fallen short? Does that mean a man like we saw in the film, whose basic instinct was to do what's right? He had a conscience within him. Guess what? We all do. And we know it when we fall short, and we will. What do we do then? Mm-hmm. What then? Is it enough to lay out a plan to do better? There's a lot you can talk about right there.
Yeah. Dr. Dobson, a passage that we have gone back to is Titus 3:5, and it says, "It's not by the works that we've done in an attempt to become righteous, but it's according to his mercy that he saves us." And that's what makes – one of the things that makes Christianity so different is all other faiths or religions, it's man's attempt to get to God. And the good news of the gospel is that God has reached out to us, and that not only can we not do it in our own strength, but we don't have to. He's Amen. Done it for us. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth that as Chad and I were in college, that God lit up our hearts with and said, this message is what we want to share.
I give you another devotional thought that could follow in the next few days. Ask your kids why Jesus had to die on the cross. And what is the difference between his death and that of martyrs who died for their faith. Is there a difference? What is it? Obviously, the answer is that he provided a remedy for sin, and there is no other. That's why you've got to do business with him. And it's not enough to do all the other, you know, go through all the hoops and everything else. When he said on the cross, it is finished.
Bam.
What he meant is he had provided a remedy for sin, and there is only one.
That's right.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I heard someone say one day, well, you know, I've lived a sinful life, and I should have been on that cross. Well, what difference would that have made to humanity? Nothing. It wouldn't have helped one bit. You would have paid a penalty for sin, but it wouldn't have helped any of the rest of us.
Yes.
Because only Christ's blood can atone.
Yeah. And the other thing, you guys have developed material, discussion material, that families can use.
Yes.
To tease out the themes, to tease out the topics.
Yep. On the website, beyondthemaskmovie.com, you can come and get study guides and resources.
You have those?
Yes. Yep.
Good. Add two more to
them. Fantastic. We will. One other, while we're on this topic, in the Facebook world today, I saw an article that came out recently. 1 out of 5 people admits to lying on Facebook. But in addition to the folks who just blatantly lie.
So 4 out of 5 are liars as well?
Yeah.
Well, that was a lie. Actually, 3 out of 5. Whoever wrote it was lying then.
But think about it. Even if you're not actually lying, we shape our identities and we shape who we want people to think that we are.
Oh, yeah.
And we try to build these reputations for ourselves in hopes that other people will like us, that we'll like ourselves, you know, and that we can ultimately, you know, try to impress God. And that thought for young people, especially as you wrestle through who am I, you know, what makes me important and what is my purpose in life and all these questions that all of us wrestle through. You know, the gospel provides the answer to that, that you're a child of God. Your significance comes in being created in God's image, and your purpose is to glorify him as he redeems you. And it's a
Chad, when we were talking before we came into the studio, I told you that I had read a sociological book when I was in graduate school. This goes back to the 1960s, and I never forgot it. The theme of it is described in its title. It is the presentation of self in everyday life and describes the many ways every day you go about building an image, describing for others who you want them to think you are. And we all know you are not who you think you are. You're not even what others think you are. You are what you think others think you are. And you work on that all the time. and that was the theme of the author of this book. And it is really true. How much of our effort goes into trying to convincing people that we are different than we really are? And
it's just astronomical. I saw a study not long ago talking about how Facebook is causing depression among a wide swath of people because you only – rarely do you put your bad foot forward on Facebook.
Yeah,
you put your best foot forward. You don't talk about how you yelled at your kids this morning and made them cry and the fight you had with your wife.
Yeah.
It's all, you know, oh, look what my husband did for me and oh, look at my cute kids and look at the great thing we did. And you look at this and think – everybody's life is better than mine.
And
everybody's doing it better than me.
This makes the honeymoon experience often very difficult because you spend the dating years putting your best foot forward and helping your spouse draw the conclusions you want about you.
Yeah.
And on the honeymoon, it all breaks.
Yeah.
It all – or in the first year – perhaps, and you find out this person is not exactly who I thought he or she was.
Well, we spend so much time with projections, basically.
Yeah.
And C.S. Lewis had talked about that the most difficult part of prayer is for the real me to pray to the real God.
Yes.
For the real me, not this projection of myself or who I want others or God to think I am, but who I really am. For better or for worse, to pray to the real God, not this image I've constructed, not this sort of fictitious thing that I've made up in my own mind or I've created out of other fictions. And what that takes is a lot of work, because for us to actually stop and do what we need to do by the grace of God to see our real selves, to see ourselves as we really are, and to see ourselves in light of God's mercy, God's love, the need for repentance, the need for all that only He can provide, is a very hard thing, especially when we live in a culture that loves to create the means for us to put on masks.
Yeah.
We can hide on social networking. Mm-hmm. We can hide in so many different ways, create this thing around us that hopefully people will believe. But the dissonance, and I think Will Reynolds faces this, the dissonance is, but deep inside you know it's not true.
Yeah.
And when you know it's not true, there's always that crushing disappointment, that moment when you privately know that you need something, but you don't know what it is.
Yeah. We've been talking about a new film that is really just coming out called Beyond the Mask. And guess whose mask it is we're talking about? It's our own.
That's right.
The reason I like the movie is because it provides a framework for discussing what we've been saying just here in the last, this program particularly, and gives you an opportunity to teach your own children about the mask.
Yeah.
They all need to understand about that. And you guys have done a brilliant job of providing that. And you were not simply telling a swashbuckling story about an historic event set in fictional terms.
Yep.
This is really a story with a message.
Yeah, that's right, Dr. Dobson. And I know we've been circling this issue of masks for a while, but another angle a parent can take when they get the kids in the car and they're on their way home is to look at there's kind of a two-step that the hero follows in the story. And in the first phase, the hero knows he's got problems. And in the first phase, he literally puts on a mask of a stolen identity. And most of us recognize, and even our secular friends recognize, that pure straight-up deception is only going to get you so far. It hasn't really fixed what's wrong. So that fails. And then the second iteration of his attempt at justification is, I think, even more interesting, because the hero says, I will balance the scales. I will do enough good to overcome the wrong in my past. And it sounds so appealing. It sounds so intuitive sometimes. But the reality of the Christian message is, well, the bad news first is that we can never do enough to get there. And the good news is that Christ has reached out to us in that brokenness. And that's the message of Beyond the Mask.
Yeah. It's also why you can't come to God and show you have done enough work to justify yourself before Him. It's impossible. No one's ever been able to do that. Because there is only one source of forgiveness, and that is the blood of Christ.
Amen.
So there's just a lot of subtle messages in here I think parents will be able to capitalize on.
You know, you guys, one of the things I like about this is it'll inspire the next generation of filmmakers and writers.
We desire to do that.
And it'll do a good job of that. But, Paul, you've been writing for decades now. What advice would you give your 19-year-old self, looking back on writing for Odyssey and doing screenplays and doing, you know, plays in theater and musical and those types of things, any advice for your young self?
Yeah, and I will say it is one of the most gratifying things to have been involved with Odyssey all this time, because when I've had opportunities to go to conferences and different places to talk and meet people. I remember the first time I met some young filmmakers who said, I'm doing what I'm doing because you did what you did. Because of Adventures in Odyssey, we were inspired. I was inspired to think audaciously that I could do it. And that meant a lot to me, because the time will come, I'm done, it hands off to the next generation. The main thing I would say to anyone who aspires to do it is whatever you're going to do, just do it really well. And that means learn the craft. Mm-hmm. It means don't make excuses One phrase that I often use is that God can redeem our worst efforts, but we shouldn't keep putting him in a position where he has to. So our Christianity is not an excuse for substandard work, that we have a forgiving audience. In fact, we should always be creating as if our audience is going to be the toughest, demanding the most from us. Mm-hmm. So you want to be a writer? Write, and write a lot, and learn from the best, and read the best. You want to be a filmmaker? Then you learn what other filmmakers have done, even if you don't agree with their worldview. As we said earlier, Hollywood has created amazing, well-crafted films. Worldview can be out to lunch, but there's no arguing the mm-hmm. craftsmanship. We'll learn from that. Let's figure out how to do the best, because one of the things that happens, and it's hard to describe this, but I've seen it again and again, and that is when you see something really well done, there is a level of inspiration that makes you desire to do something better than that. So when people see a film like Beyond the Mask, I think there are going to be a lot of people in the audience who will raise their expectations, not only in what they hope to watch next time, but the future, our artists, the writers, and the future filmmakers will say, ah, I saw how they did that. They did that really well. I want to do what they did. And so the inspiration level rises up with good effort. And I think that's one of the things that I love about the film.
Yeah,
people are going to come away and I think be inspired on a lot of levels, the ones that we've talked about. But I think deeply it's going to create that desire and yearning for more films to be done as well.
Yeah. I'd add to that, get somebody in your life honest enough to tell you when you've done a bad job.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I work with a writer and she's just brilliant. First manuscript she ever wrote, turned it in. It got sent back with one word on it. No.
Mm.
That was it.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be honest, if I wrote an entire book and someone just said, no.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. I don't know if I'd write another one, but she stuck to it and did a great job. She had mm-hmm. someone honest enough to say, this doesn't quite pass muster.
Well, the only difference between an experienced writer and a new writer is that the experienced writers catch their mistakes sooner.
Mm-hmm.
Not that experienced mm-hmm. writers don't make mistakes. They do. But I think experience shows them where they are and hopefully to be able to fix them faster. But that's the difference.
Yeah.
It isn't reaching some level of perfection or I approach every new project with the same sort of call it fear and trepidation because
yeah.
I just never assume that suddenly I've reached some magic age where I've got it right now. Every project creates new challenges.
One of my great disappointments was reading tomorrow morning what I wrote last night. I went to bed thinking that was done, wasn't that good, and then realizing the flaws mm-hmm. that were in and starting over, mm-hmm. starting to write again.
Well, we appreciate you guys. Yeah. You know, I said this to Mark Burnett and Roma Downey, and I've not said it very many times. It may be the only other time. Thank you for producing something we can be proud of,
mm-hmm.
that you don't have to go into it being embarrassed of what are your friends going to say? They're going to like it. They're going to like it. I can say that with a clear conscience. You're going to enjoy the film. You're going to enjoy the story, and you're going to want more when it's done.
Mm-hmm.
So I look forward to seeing what you guys are doing the next time. And for those that are listening now, they want to see the film. How are they going to see it?
Well, thanks for asking, Ryan. If you go to our website, beyondthemaskmovie.com, you can type in your zip code and you'll pull up where it's playing in theaters. It's mm-hmm. playing all over the country, 600 screens across the country this April. Now, the trick is it's only playing for one night in each of those screenings.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't reserve your tickets online in advance and you show up at the door, you probably won't be able to get in. So beyondthemaskmovie.com, punch in your zip code. It's playing near you.
All right. We'll have that link on our website as well, drjamesdobson.org.
Well, our guests have been Dr. Chad Burns and Aaron Burns and Paul McCusker, my longtime friend. It's been a delight having you all mm-hmm. here. I like the way you think. It's been interesting here in the studio to listen to your brain spin as you explain the creative work that you have now done. And Ryan and I would like to say to our listeners, come see mm-hmm. this film. And as Ryan and Aaron have just explained, you can find out more information about this. Say it one more time, Aaron.
BeyondTheMaskMovie.com. Tickets are only available online.
keep us informed of the progress of the film and let us know how the Lord's using it.
Mm-hmm. We will. Thank you so much. It was just an absolute honor and delight for us to be here. Your ministry has meant more to our family than you know over the years, and we're so grateful.
Thank you, Aaron. God bless you all.
Thank you.
And for those of you who would like to buy tickets to see the new movie Beyond the Mask, visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, for links on where the film will be showing in your area. Remember, the only way to see this movie is to buy the tickets online. So go to our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org, click on the link, and get your tickets today. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless, thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.